This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
A survey by AARP shows that 90% of seniors want to remain in their homes where they have created so many wonderful memories. But for many, declining physical and cognitive abilities make living in their homes increasingly difficult. Our guest on today's This Week in America, occupational therapist and certified aging in place specialist, Lynn Schrager, author of Age in Place, a guide to modifying, organizing, and decluttering mom and dad's home. Her book is The Solution. It offers a practical step-by-step room-by-room guide to simple modifications that can help seniors make their home safer and easier to navigate. Keep them safe and you sane. Modify your parents' home so they can safely age in place. Next on This Week in America.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
Call 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now, we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. Some 90% of those 65 and over say they want to spend their senior years in their own homes, making independent choices, maintaining control of their lives. But those desires are often derailed by declining physical and cognitive abilities. In the new book, Age in Place, A Guide to Modifying, Organizing, and Decluttering Mom and Dad's Home, Lynn Schrager, a registered National Board Certified Occupational Therapist, an expert in the field of geriatric rehabilitation for more than 37 years, and a certified Aging in Place Specialist, offers a practical, step-by-step, room-by-room guide to simple modifications that can help seniors make their home safer and easier to navigate. She's been working with seniors in their homes for more than 13 years, her passion, providing therapeutic care in the patient's home environment and in educating their caregivers. The author of Age in Place, Lynn Schrager, with us on This Week in America. Hi, Lynn. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you today.
So many important things we're going to talk about in the show today. And aging in place really sounds good, but as you point out, it does require some preparation, some forethought. And we have a tendency to get complacent, don't we? When things are going well with mom and dad, we really don't think of modifications and things we need to do to protect them.
You know, Rick, that is totally the problem. And that's actually where this book came from, because you are right. People do not tend to think they're going to get sick until they get sick. And as long as everything's going along hunky-dory, nobody deals with the problem. But what happens most often is that the crisis does occur. Mom falls, breaks a hip, dad has a heart attack, he's in the hospital, And all of a sudden, everybody's running around like crazy saying, oh my God, what do we do with mom and dad? So I have tried to tell people that the real trick is to make a plan ahead of time. Don't wait for the crisis to occur, but rather gather the family, go over to mom and dad's house, do a walkthrough, a couple of walkthroughs actually. One time does not do it. It takes many visits. And kind of gather your information. I call it put on your inner Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Gather your information by watching how they do negotiating throughout the house. And when you have that data gathered, then sit down and then talk about a plan.
I want to go back just for a second and talk about decline. You point out in the book, Age in Place, how often it's very, very slow, and especially if you're not there on a daily basis, you really don't understand the way they're acting now is the new norm.
Well, exactly. And see, that's really why I tend to see a conflict with my clients. Because what happens, exactly what you just said, Rick, the older senior has a very slow decline so that they actually get used to it. Their body becomes used to the fact that, for example, when they walk up the stairs, their knees creak a little bit, or when they go to sit down on that toilet, it's kind of a long journey down.
Yes.
And but they do it every day, and they get used to it. And then we, the kids, come in, and we take a look, and we say, oh my God, Dad, you can barely make it up the stairs. Or Mom, look at you, you can hardly get on the toilet. To them, they're fine. And you ask Mom and Dad, how you doing? I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. Because they actually, their reality is they are fine. And our reality is, well, maybe not so much. But the problem is we have two different realities going on here, and we both believe that we are right. So the way to deal with this is to sort of come together, meet in the middle, and try to each explain our own point of view, if you will, so that we can then make a calm plan with our parents to help them to get safe and to maybe make some modifications that will make it easier for them to get around the house.
It's interesting you point out one of the things we really need to do in the beginning is see the situation through the loved one's eyes. We need to treat them with respect. Everyone gives a little. So often you see pushback and you see conflict in the family, and sometimes it destroys families if it's not approached in the proper way.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I'll often hear that people will say kind of a new buzzword, and you see some of the new books that are coming out and articles, and it's parenting your parents. And I really have to say that I totally disagree with that statement. Our parents are our parents, and they're going to stay that way. We are not parenting them. They are parenting us. And they really deserve respect. And the way to sort of get this done is to meet them in the middle. But the bottom line is, especially obviously if they're totally cognizant and they don't have any type of any dementia type things going on, then we really need to give them the respect, and we need to say, look, we want to work with you and on your level, and we want to try to do what you want. And the first thing is you ask your parents, what do you want? What is your goal? What have you thought about the future? Have you thought about where you'd like to be 5-10 years from now? And if it's at home, then the deal is this. We have to meet in the middle. We've seen a few things that we're worried about. We're worried about your safety, and we know that there's a couple of easy modifications that could be made that'll make it safer. So you want to stay here, then we have to try to meet in the middle on this, and you might have to give a little also and agree to some of these changes or modifications.
Lynn Schrager, our guest on This Week in America. Her website is otherwisehealthy.com. The book is Age in Place, A Guide to Modifying, Organizing, and Decluttering. The book's available wherever books are sold. Of course, you can link on directly to Lynn's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It really does take you step by step. You'll find hacks for health and home, pictures, odds and ends, focus sheets. They will walk you through the process. And it's interesting, we hear so much about having the talk. How do you go about having the talk? And you say that second, first of all, and you mentioned this before, you have to have the walk. talk about how important that is, because that's sort of your guidepost for what you're going to be suggesting and doing.
Well, that's right. And when I do assessments for my clients, I literally will have them start out in the backyard. The book starts with one of my patients who was out in his backyard tending to his tomato plants and tripped in a ditch in his lawn and ended up laying there for a couple of hours. So literally, go around the backyard, go around the driveway and the land, and then go in through the house, depending on which way they often go in. Most people, if they have a garage, they'll go in through the garage. And right there, you know, there's often a problem. It's a couple of steps up. And so for them to get from the garage into the kitchen or into the main house is a problem, or through the front door if there's a lot of steps. And we get into the house, and then I go with them literally room to room, from the living room, in through the kitchen, into the den, into the bathroom. And then if there are stairs, we go up and we deal with all the rooms up there, the biggie, of course, being the bathroom. And if there's a down, I often find, I'm not sure maybe in your area, but around here, many, many of the older homes, the laundry's in the basement.
Yes.
The killer stairs from hell, I call them. And, you know, down in that basement is where they go, because that's where they're going to do the laundry. So I do this walkthrough with my patients, and then after that, I then gather everybody who needs to be part of it and have the conversation.
You know, it's interesting. It's not just a quick visual look. You know, you sort of look around, make some notes, and you go back home. You are literally going through their life. For example, and you sort of probably take these for granted. Dad's got to go to the mailbox. Can he go to the mailbox? He takes the garbage out. Can he do that? You're talking about something like telephones that most of us wouldn't even think about, that you lay out and make sure that we go through, and these are accessible for mom and dad.
Exactly. You're right. There are the little details like that. There's what we call, in the occupational therapy world, the activities of daily living, which are your basic things: bathing, dressing, grooming, hygiene, toileting, the things that we really have to do every day. And then there's the instrumental activities of daily living, which are what you just mentioned: getting the mail, getting the newspaper, dealing with the laundry, getting groceries, and making meals. So that is what my training is in. That is what I've done for 37 years, is to take those activities of daily living that a person needs to undertake every day and then analyze how they do that, and then look at how they do that in their environment. And that's why you would find occupational therapists in many, many settings, in rehab settings and hospitals and nursing homes and in schools working with children and all sorts of places. But my area that I actually feel OT makes the most sense is in the person's home environment, because that's where they're trying to function. And there's something called environmental press. And what that means is that the environment is causing too much stress on the person. The environment has become too hard to manage. And when that happens, we have a problem. So my job is to look at that environment and look at the person and put the two together and try to get them to sort of become equal, so that the environment's not too hard to deal with and the person gets the abilities and the skills to deal with the environment.
Talk about what we do when we look around the room and we see all these cherished possessions that have been accumulated over basically a lifetime. It means something to them. We see it as an obstacle for mom and dad. How do we go about maybe eliminating some of those or putting those in different places?
Well, you know, that's why the book is called, it's got a kind of long name, doesn't it, Rick?
But it says it all.
It's a guide to modifying, organizing, and decluttering.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, you know, you see all the time people are organizers and talking about clutter and decluttering it. But it really is important, because clutter itself can actually be unsafe. I mean, it's not just that I'm worried that somebody might have a nice collection of something, but clutter, if it gets out of hand, can actually get in the way of a person safely navigating through their house. I've gone to people and I've seen even the newspapers pile up. I once had someone, it was like, you know, the mazes that they do in the fall season where you have to walk through the corn, you know, the corn.
Yes.
This was newspapers up almost to the ceiling. It was unbelievable. And they could not get from one place to the other. And that's an extreme. But I will go in and I'll see the cords or the papers or maybe an ottoman in the way and things that really shouldn't be there because they're going to impact on the safety. So you have clutter, and then, you know, the thing is, what do you do with it? Well, that's where the problem occurs, because like you just said, much of this stuff is stuff that they have accumulated for years and years, and it means something to them. So we as the kid might walk in and say, oh, Mom, you know what, you have that tea set collection, it's got to go, you know. But meanwhile, what about Mom? So the way I tell people to start dealing with this process is to talk to the person about what the object means to them. And often it's the nature of the attachment to the object that makes it hard to part with, not as much the object itself. For example, so Mom, well, you know what? That tea set was her great-grandmother's, who she loved. So that's the story behind the tea set. That's why it's so important. And so often if we get them to just talk about it and even share stories with the rest of the family, sometimes they realize it's the memory and the stories that's important. And then we can maybe help them to realize that they could cull that collection down by perhaps picking one or two favorite tea sets or you know, tea cups and getting rid of the rest of them. So there's a way to go about the decluttering, and there's a process which I talk about in the book and some questions that I say to go through with the person. For example, what is the likelihood that you'll use it again? And can you make money from this? And what's the benefit if someone else had it? And why is it so special to me? And how will my life change if I don't have this object? And then a good one that often helps is, what is the worst thing that could happen if I got rid of this thing? And then, in answer to that, if I needed it, could I get it again? So if you go through on a room-to-room basis, kind of having a discussion, talking about these issues, it often will help the decluttering process go along.
A couple minutes left in the program. We're talking with Lynn Schrager, occupational therapist, social worker, author of the book Age in Place, A Guide to Modifying, Organizing, and Decluttering. And it's more than just going and moving and eliminating, something that's very important you talk about. You call it the treasure map. Really, you need to organize the documents in case of emergency so you can access them very quickly.
Well, yes. And, you know, that's something that actually can get very overwhelming. And in the back of the book, I call it the mother list. And it's vital documents that you should be able to locate. And where this really comes in handy is, should something medically happen to the person, it's very hard for the kids to be left with trying to find all of this stuff. I do a talk in the community, which is very, very popular, called Get Your Affairs in Order So Your Kids Don't Have To. And that's what this list does. It talks about legal papers, you know, your will, your power of attorney, health care directives, and then health care information, insurance information, and identifying information, you know, such as your license or your Social Security. Do you know where your Social Security card is, your original one right now, Rick, if I ask you where it is?
I'd have to call have to call my wife and see if she remembers.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, the vital records, the financial information. So this list, when you first look at it, and I say that, don't be overwhelmed. It's long. But if you say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to take one section of it on a weekend and gather those papers, or not necessarily gather them, like literally get them in your hand, but write a map of where they are so that your kids will know that the lien and to the house and the title to the car is at the lawyer's office and here's his phone number. Or, you know, this, that, and the other thing is in my safety deposit box. Here's the key. This is the bank where it is. I joke. My dad, God bless him, he died suddenly of a heart attack. I still have that little red envelope with the little string that goes wraps around it with the key in it. Do I know where that bank is? No. I think I could be a millionaire, but I'll never find it. So that's the problem, okay? So if you can make a map to these papers so that those who come after you will be able to find that information, it's the greatest gift that you can leave to your family.
Lynn Schrager, our guest on This Week in America, certified aging in place specialist, the author of Age in Place, a guide to modifying, organizing, and decluttering. Her website is otherwisehealthy.com. Lynn, so much great information in the program today and much, much more in the book. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Rick, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
Call 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws. And now, you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-430-9605. 800-430-9605. 800-430-9605. That's 800-430-9605.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Dr. David Geyer, orthopedic surgeon, sports medicine specialist, and author of That's Gotta Hurt, providing education and commentary on sports and exercise injuries, injury treatment, and prevention for athletes and active people so you can stay healthy and perform your best. His website, drdavidgeyer.com, is a destination to get answers, get better, sports medicine simplified. And Dr. Geyer back with us on the program. Doctor, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So much more to talk about. We're continuing a series that we've done on youth sports, and you can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and get the past programs, information on the topics, as well as other great information at drdavidgeyer.com. Today, we want to talk about focusing on fun and proper techniques the skills involved instead of winning and strategies. And a statistic you have that's really alarming when you think about it at your website is that 70% of kids quit playing organized sports by 13. They come in, and I can remember when our kids were in that age bracket, so excited about playing sports, and then there's a burnout there for so many. Why is that?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of pressure on kids today, mostly related to sports, but then you throw that on top of they're heading into high school at that age and the demands of school, but you know, playing year-round, playing 5 days a week and then traveling on weekends. You know, a lot of these kids, they're young and they're just maybe not as emotionally strong as you are as you get older. And so I think that if it's not fun and if it's more about winning and you know, the pressure to succeed and thrive, I think that's a lot for kids, and they ultimately just decide maybe I don't want to do this anymore.
Should we keep score, especially for the younger kids? I'm talking, you know, 7-8-year-olds are out there playing and they're keeping score, and you know, we were to keep a tally through the season and we're going to give trophies to the winning team. Should we focus on score that way?
You know, I've heard the argument either way, and I think for really young kids, I don't know that the score necessarily matters to me in terms of keeping it. I understand the argument, you know, why it's necessary and all that.
Yes.
But I think in the bigger picture is that we need to make winning less the goal and getting the personal statistics, the stats really good, you know, how many, you know, hits you've had over the course of the season or how many strikeouts, that winning and statistics are not what youth sports should be about. I think obviously it's about fun. That's sort of the underlying message. But learning the right way to play, learning the movements, learning the techniques, learning, you know, to work with your teammates, you know, teamwork and leadership, I think that's much more important.
The last thing you want is to get hurt. And I'm thinking as we're talking proper techniques and skills, if we do that right, that should like minimize the opportunity, the chances of getting hurt?
Yeah, I really think that what happens with, you know, this pressure to win and this pressure to have the best youth team and whatever the sport is, I think leads kids to practice even more hours than their bodies are comfortable in and push through pain when they haven't rested or, you know, something may actually be an early injury. And that's where it leads to injuries. I think most youth sports injuries are sort of a too much stress without enough time to rest, and a focus on winning in statistics just amplifies that.
Our guest on This Week in America, Dr. David Guyer, he's an award-winning, double-board certified orthopedic surgeon and board member of the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine. He's the author of That's Gotta Hurt, The Injuries That Change Sports Forever, and the website is drdavidguyer, GEIER.com. Click on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It makes you sort of stop and think a little bit about the role of youth sports. What is the purpose of youth sports? And I think you've touched on some of them, especially the teamwork and friendship aspect of it.
There's no question sports have a tremendous number of benefits. Obviously, there's physical benefits from a health standpoint and lowering the rates of childhood obesity and so many other positive physical health benefits. But emotional health and social benefits of kids being with other athletes, young athletes, and learning to cooperate and the teamwork and all of that. But there's benefits from personal well-being and happiness, less depression. There's benefits in terms of better academic test scores and success in school. There's even thought to be better long-term career success in kids that play sports. So I think there's a ton of reasons that we want kids to play. We just have to keep them healthy enough to do it.
You will find a lot of excellent information at Dr. Guyer's website, which is Dr. David Guyer. And again, that's GEIER.com. Information there as well on the book. It's an excellent read. We've talked about it on the program before. That's Gotta Hurt, The Injuries That Change Sports Forever. Doctor, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Much more to talk about. We will do it again. It's been very informative, and you can listen to all of these programs by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, or going to Dr. Guyer's website, drdavidguyer.com. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You've been listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. And join us next time for another broadcast of This Week in America.